Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm the one with the voice that sounds like I've got a sore throat, but I don't. Just a little bit of a lingering part of the vestiges of a little cold that I got over the weekend, and it's on its way out, but it's making one last stand in my voice. So thank you for bearing with me. Thomas Harpointer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend. He's the CEO of AIS Media, and his company specializes in helping people reach their customers and accomplish their goals in the marketplace through over the Internet. And we're going to talk about that and some alternatives that you have, some classic alternatives and some new alternatives. Thomas Harpointer, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
It's good to have you here. Postage is going up, what is it, in May? It's going up a penny?
Yeah, it's going up another penny this May, just like last May.
So why is a penny making it such a big deal? Tell the audience that.
Well,
I mean, a penny is nothing, right? You walk by a penny in the parking lot, you don't even pick it up. The government is thinking about not making pennies. So what's the big deal about a penny?
Well, those pennies do add up after a while. You know, we may pass that penny on a parking lot, but when people are taking pennies out of our pockets, we're not too happy about it.
Yeah. Especially when you multiply it by thousands of units. What is that going to make it? 44 cents a stamp?
It's going to go up another penny. The post office a couple of years ago decided instead of these 2 to 3 or 3 cent bumps, they're every couple of years they're going to bump it up by a penny every year.
Yeah.
So that people wouldn't be as affected and they wouldn't be as outraged. What's interesting this year is that penny increase in the pulse rate comes right at the same time with the economic stimulus package in May.
Yeah.
So for some small businesses I've talked to, they feel a little bit slighted by it.
Well, more and more people have gravitated towards email. I remember, Thomas, you may not go back this far, but I remember when we got fax machines, or we used to call them, I remember when they were actually called facsimile machines before we even abbreviated it to fax, but the old barrel facsimile machines, and that was pretty handy. And then we got real faxes. That was a lot handier and automated. And then we got email. And that changed the way we communicated back and forth for regular communication significantly, didn't it?
Well, it sure did. I do recall those days. It was back in the very early 90s, and at the time, not everyone had a fax machine. And
I was going
a couple of years.
Right, Thomas, I was going back to the 70s, actually. they were facsimiles in the 70s, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I remember in the early 90s, in fact, in Florida, not everyone had a fax machine at the time, and then within a couple of years, it caught on pretty quickly. If you didn't have a fax number, you had an excuse. And, email, and that's how email addresses have evolved. And, today, if someone doesn't have an email address on their business card, you can guarantee they've got some kind of an excuse that their email's down or their provider's changing.
Yeah.
Everyone has an email address now.
And so we're using that more and more. I mean, we're using it. I use it more and more to send semi-official documents. In other words, I'll go ahead and send a signed letter that's been scanned and turned into a PDF to let people know that this is coming to them hard copy, and it establishes a contract. I mean, we're using it more, and of course, as you know, there are such a thing as a digital signature that's available right now. But that just takes care of the onesies and twosies. The big impact on postage for small business is not the onesies and twosies. It's reaching out to their customers. That's where the postage is hurting them from a direct mail standpoint, isn't it?
It is. Postal mail is very expensive, and it's not really more effective than email. on average, a business to reach their customers with email is going to spend about a penny per email sent. And, you know, if you think about that, the selling proposition of spending a penny versus spending 44 pennies, you know, to reach that same customer, it's almost a no-brainer. And, you know, we're finding that businesses who don't use email as a way to reach their customers typically, you know, simply don't know how to go about it. They don't have the technical capabilities in-house to launch and manage an email campaign. But once they're on board, they're never going to stop using it because generally the customer is just as receptive. And when they receive an email or something interesting within that email, they can actually click in that email, go to the website versus getting an envelope in the mail. You're reading the envelope. You then have to go to a computer or you have to call a phone number. It's a different venue. But email, you're already on a computer anyway. So it's much easier to get that person to take that step from reading that email to clicking that link and visiting the site.
There are many advantages. Many advantages, cost being one of the greater reasons to use email for marketing. And there are a lot of companies like yours who are helping small business owners to be more effective in that area. But there are some challenges with email marketing, Thomas, and one of them is getting through the ISPs and getting through the spam filters and not getting put in the junk boxes and being received by people who actually are interested in what you have to offer. Those are some of the challenges that are there. And I'm not sure have you got a silver bullet for the ISP spam filter?
Well, you know, it's a very good point. It's not all rainbows and butterflies. And you know, when you send an email to an individual from Outlook, it's not a big deal. You can forward it, you know, hit the send button and you're done. But there's a big difference between sending a single email and sending tens of thousands or millions of emails. Just for one of our travel clients, we're sending about 1.2 million a week, and there's no way they could do that using Outlook. Right. The ISPs are very sensitive to mass email. And you have to have the right systems in place. When you're dealing with email of that magnitude, somebody has to maintain the relationships with the ISPs. It gets a little technical at that point, but yep. If it's handled properly, the complaints are virtually non-existent. The emails do get through, and everything can be tracked. And yeah, it's just a one more benefit.
The tracking is a big deal, and that's irrespective of what the ISPs do. And we'll talk about that when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after. We're visiting with Thomas Harpointer. He's the founder and the CEO of AIS Media out of Atlanta, Georgia. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I was a dandy. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the horse one, and also known as the small business advocate. We're visiting with our new friend Thomas Harpointer, and he's talking to us about alternatives to putting a stamp on a letter or a direct mail piece or something like that. And as you know, folks, this is a topic we've talked about quite a bit on the show before, and I always like getting experts like Thomas on the show to help us with these things. Thomas, one of the things that's pretty cool about email, I mean, and just quickly review, folks, if you send a million email out, Thomas, you're going to get a lot of those are going to get caught. Even if you have great relationships with ISPs, even if your sender, the people who help you send these things have been identified and they're not on the blacklist and all the little widgets and wrinkles and handshakes are done in your piece to make sure everything is, you know, is copacetic and everybody's happy, you're still going to get caught in some filters. It's just there's no way to avoid that. You're going to lose some because they get caught in filters. However, some are going to get through. A lot of them are going to get through. And even if they are caught, Thomas, at the desktop level, sometimes people will, if you got an important enough or a good enough message, they'll still open them up. But that's the issue to me. That's the real strong selling point for email marketing, is that you guys can track what happened, how many people opened, and what they clicked on, can't you?
Well, right, and you know, if you think about it, the great retailer John Wanamaker once said that 50% of my advertising doesn't work. I just don't know which 50%.
Right.
They had to keep spending the money back then. The great value proposition that email marketing and online advertising really brings is that you can know what's working, what's not working, if you have the tools in place to track it properly. There's no excuse not to know which 50% is working and not working. With email, you know how much email was sent, how much was delivered, how much was opened, and then how many people interacted with that email, took action, and actually clicked on it. With postal mail, you have an idea of how much you send out, obviously, but if you have a way of measuring the response, you know how many people called or filled out their reply envelope, but you really don't know how many people even bothered opening that envelope or threw it directly into the trash can. And that's a big challenge for marketers. So with email, they have additional performance metrics so they can make more intelligent decisions about ad copy, which offers to use next week. And they can make those changes much more quickly than with a postal mail campaign.
Absolutely. And overnight, I mean, you can change it right up to the second before you push the button.
Absolutely right.
And the other thing is, you know, how many times if you watch television and you saw something you actually would like to buy in an ad somewhere, and you just didn't want to get up out of the recliner and pick up the phone and call, and of course, I guess you could, if you have your laptop in your lap, you could go to their website and everything. But the good thing about the email marketing is you're right there, as you said earlier in the previous segment, you're right there, a click away from taking action. One of the things that's a real issue these days, though, Thomas, is this phishing issue, the phishing thing. And you know, I get email from companies that I do business with, but I'm always suspect of things that I get from them because the guys who want to harm me make their email look an awful lot like the good guys, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. And half these phishing schemes are coming from overseas, and people new to the internet tend to fall for those scams a little more than people that are seasoned.
Well, but sometimes though, even I'm a pretty seasoned guy myself. Sometimes it's hard to tell which ones are from the good guys because both of them may come in as spam in my foot through a filter. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing to look for is the destination domain. You know, if something comes, an email comes into your mailbox that appears as though it's coming from your bank, they may use that logo. Their content may even be very convincing. But once you click that link, you want to look at the URL in terms of where that link is pointing to.
Right.
If it's not yourbank.com, if it's anything else but yourbank.com,
right,
it's probably a phishing scheme.
Or if there's anything in front of yourbank.com, if it says something like, xyz.yourbank.com, that's probably not too good either. Thomas, I want the audience to know a little bit about your company. Go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, we're an interactive marketing and web services company headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. What we do is we primarily work with small and medium-sized businesses, and we help them use the internet and use digital marketing to help them grow their business. Two primary ways. One, we either help them generate leads online, and this is for companies that have sales teams that need to keep those sales teams fed with new qualified leads on an ongoing basis. And two, we work with retailers that want to sell products online directly to consumers, securely sell those products over the internet. Email marketing is used for both types of companies that either want to generate sales leads or want to drive customers directly to a website and substantially increase sales.
What is that website, Thomas?
Our website is aismedia.com.
aismedia.com. Thomas, thank you for being here. Good job today with the information, and we'll get you back another day. I know you'll have some new things to tell us. When you come back, next time you come back, Thomas, I want you to tell us about what's going to replace email. What's the thing that's going to be the death of email?
I've got some insight there, too.
All right, well, let us know next time. Thanks, Thomas. See you next time. Quick break, right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.